tema. So, okay, these questions will have question answers, but I think बहुत हो गया हिंदू मुस्लिम थोड़ा उसका भी शांत रहने दे पर ठीक है. क्वेश्चन है कि हाउ टू प्रोटेक्ट ourselves एंड अवर नेक्स्ट जनरेशन vis-a-vis द फॉलोअर्स ऑफ इस्लाम हु आर टीचिंग किलिंग एंड hatred. And our spiritual gurus, they teach peace and love. Not exactly like that. We have a very wide variety of range of teachings. We have the Gita, we have the Ramayana, the Mahabharata. None of that teaches blind peace and love. So, important thing is that first thing to be one is knowledge. Even the Gita says so. It's not like a blind violence, you pick up a sword and start killing or a gun. First, there should be knowledge. That means why you are doing whatever you are doing. So in Hindu spiritual teachings, you will see a lot of stress on knowledge. And the action comes afterwards. So that's why sometimes it gets mistaken that, you know, there is no, let's say, war. No, war is very much part of the Hindu culture, Sanatana Dharma. It's just that we have to, even Sri Aurobindo goes on to say that India must learn some aggressive virtues. So that's also part of dealing with the world. So in Hinduism, let me tell what is the approach. First is that in a sense all are divine. We should not forget that, because then we are reacting on the surface. All are divine, including the Muslims. So what about next life, this life? That's obviously soul is in its evolutionary journey. Sometimes it takes a Muslim body, sometimes a Hindu body, because bodies are neither Muslim or Hindu, but it born in a certain environment, it picks up those things for a kind of experience. So which is okay, it's a journey through which it has to go through. But first thing we need to understand is that in a sense all are divine. But problem is that is a truth of essence, not a truth of manifestation. In manifestation, everything is progressively evolving from the lesser to the greater divine. So, lesser to the greater divine means that, well, you will deal differently. There is a stratification, there is a hierarchy. So, there are different ways different people have to deal with different layers. So, for example, if a child gets annoyed and hits you, hits the mother or father or anybody, you don't take it to heart and say, oh, you are, you know. But if a 20-year-old boy hits his mother, then it's a different thing altogether. So we believe in the evolutionary principle that has to be taken into consideration. The Western psyche, a lot of Semitic thought is focused on action. For example, this is the commandment given by the divine law and you have to act. So you have to act according to the law. So don't go into what is inside, state of consciousness, motive, all that is not important. In Indian thought, basically, the intent is very important. The will behind it is very important. So the killing of Duryodhana engaging in killing and Bhima engaging in killing have to be seen differently. So this should be very clear, what is my intent. So in the intent, hatred, cursing, they are not part of our Hindu culture. That's not what we entertain. Why? Even practically, it will sap your energy. Maybe it will give you a temporary aggression, but it will be a degeneration. So we don't kill because somebody does not agree to my thought, or because he's trying to, you know, thought which is contrary to my own. No, not for that. So why should one then raise a sword? A sword is, of course, a symbol sword. The sword could be a pen, the sword could be voice, the sword could be an actual. Because a particular civilization or a way of life has become dangerous, harmful and inimical to earth's progress. That's what Sri Krishna explains. That there is a march of mankind, Lok Sangrahart. You have to hold it together. And for example, I keep saying that what Islam may have been in its origin, that's none of our concern. Well, India had Parshuram, वो गो एंड पूरा क्षत्रिय से निर्मूल कर देंगे. बट वी हैव मूव्ड पास्ट मैनी इवन इन द स्टोरी इट सेल्फ. सो परशुराम सेज आई एम गोइंग टू फिनिश ऑल दी क्षत्रियस. एंड वेन डज ही स्टॉप? ही स्टॉप्स वेन ही मीट्स अ क्षत्रिय विद ऑल द नोबल क्वालिटीज एंड वर्च्यूज दैट ही एवर वॉन्टेड टू सी इन अ क्षत्रिय. सो परशुराम्स एक्शन स्टेम फ्रॉम एंगर एंड strong sense of revenge if you look at it, because his parents have been killed and by, you know, Sahasrarjun, and he wants to kill him, and then he says that all these fellows are arrogant, which was correct, and I am going to destroy. But then when Rama comes, Parshuram hands over and he says, okay, now the world has to move one step further. So we have to understand that this world is a collective march of mankind. What was valid at one point of time is no more valid today. For example, earlier you see the gladiators, when they would wrestle in the arena, you could kill. Killing was the sign that you have won. And people would cheer. So you will say, oh, no, even in our culture. If you look at it, but it's just go back 2,000, 4,000 years back. So what happens in the Rangshala of Kansa? Chanud and Mustik are killed. Kansa is also killed. In what? In a wrestling combat. Isn't it? If you look at it like that, it's much like, except that here there is a inner state which has been described to us, that they had the intent of killing Krishna. And they were planted there, and Shri Krishna and Balaram, they end up killing them. So this was the way at some point of time, there was something like an instant revenge. So, you know, it was justified for dharma's sake. Somebody has done something and you take, you, there was no courts. So the law was much more attuned with your inner truth in a way. It's very interesting that imagine if Rama and went to court to get back Mata Sita, and if he went to the Supreme Court of India, what would have happened? So mother has said, she's something very interesting. She has said, it is only in India where the psychic law has been followed and the time has come to do it. Only India can do it. So what is psychic law? You go by the deep inner truth of your being. Right now we go to court, and courts are never neutral. They are all biased. And to give you an example, which I keep saying often, I love that. So when Bhima is asked by Gandhari that, you could have at least left one of my son. That will answer this question also. Aapka jo tha. So you could have left at least one of my son to look after me in old age. Why did you kill all 100 of them? So Bhim says that I respect you, mother. But if you had 200 sons, I would have killed all 200 of them. There is a grandiose movement in that. If you really look at, if you appreciate the godlike. But why is he doing it? He says very clearly, see, there was one man who was part of the Kauravas, 101 Kaurava, who was not killed. In fact, he is the sole survivor, Yuyutsu, because he crosses over to the other side. But all the other Kauravas, they are silent accomplices. And in the war, actual war, they fight towards his side. So Bhim says, if you had 200, I would have killed 200. So this is a different kind of a moral sense. So when Bhima does these things, he, if you look at that way, chhati se khun nikal karke, you know, it may look very gory in modern sensibility. But if you look deep inside, it was understood. Now, nobody is saying we should give instant justice like that. But there was a time and it had its own own grandiose movement. When Ram goes and challenges, when he, you know, takes off the bhuja of Kumbhakarn. So you have to understand that it's not about the action, but the deep intent. And if you have that intent, correct. And you will see such movies where, you know, instead of taking a terrorist into captivity, they just finish. And he says, ki nyay to pata nahi kab hoga, kitne saal chalega. So there is a time when certain thing. Then we have gone through the rational curve. In rational curve, everything has to be decided by reason. Reason has no certain way of knowing, so it uses the word witness. So it goes into pros and cons and ways and this thing. And reason may end up, you know, justice is never met, justice delayed, all this we know what it does. Then there will be a next cycle where you will act a lot more intuitively by whatever means are given. But most important is consciousness should be clear. So we are not living in the age of Parshuram, where we just pick up a gun and kill all the Muslims. Some people follow that extreme mind also. Jitne bhi India mein Musalman hai, unko khadir do. That's not how we are. And that should not be done. I mean, by all means, that should not be done. The challenge is that, yes, they are there. How to keep them where they should be? You have a right to follow your way, perfectly fine. But you have no right, absolutely no right, to interfere with the collective life of humanity. See, this is where we made a mistake, and Shurvindu pointed it long back. The policy of appeasement, trying to reconciliate through weakness, supplication, this should not be done. So how does it happen that I wondered that why in, there are Muslims everywhere. Okay, you have some more in India. So where is the problem? No, road par namaz is not allowed. Equally, road par up, you will stand and start saying Jai Hanuman Ji Ki. No, it's not allowed. You can't block a place. It's a public thing, and we should be very clear on this. That's what at least even the rule of reason will tell you that. Now, if a group is doing it, you have to say no. Basically, that's the problem is still deeper because of the parliamentary democracy. You don't say no because you want votes. Don't say no because you want vote? Because you are insincere. So you see how deep the rot runs. So you have to be very clear. You can do this. I'm talking of the plus point of the secular side, that you follow it. Now comes the idea of Hindu Rashtra. So in Hindu Rashtra, what would be the way? It will say something very similar. It will say, well, nobody and nothing has the right to take the clock backward, and the forward march of mankind should not be interfered with. So humanity is evolving. This is something inbuilt in Sanatana Dharma. What was valid at one point of time, something else will come tomorrow, and we accept it so long as the core and the spirit is maintained intact. For example, people would take bath, believe that question that, you know, they are getting cleansed of the sins. So there are many Hindus who don't believe. I went to Sangam, I never took a dip. I went for a different reason. Bath kar raha tha, chita mar liya. I didn't take a dip. And I spoke about it openly. Nobody said, oh, how dare you do? Because we understand this, and we understand the deeper sense, we understand the symbol, we understand that Triveni means so many things. It means not just the outer Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, but the Ida, Pingala, Sushumna. We understand it on so many layers, so many levels, and we are cool with it. But equally, those who want to take a bath, we don't say, no, don't do it. This is something you are doing bad and you are doing just a ritual. No, we don't say that. You are at that level, you continue. But if you try to make everybody take a dip, then there is a problem. So that's something which should not be done. That if you have not gone, you will be branded, you will be killed. So this is where the problem of Islam comes. Exclusivity. That's why Mother said, age of religions is over. And why it is over? Because of the exclusivity. If you do it as an exclusive principle, then you are, taking a movement towards its own destruction. That's why, since we were talking about it, in Sri Aurobindo, once Sri Aurobindo appears to the mother and he says that we must caution people that they would try to make a religion out of Sri Aurobindo, because this has happened with Christ, they did, with Islam, they did. And he says that they would try to make a religion which is very cruel, which worships power, but they all must know. He says the asura of falsehood will try to do it. That there is an imitation of Sri Aurobindo who is trying to make such a religion. But people must know that that Sri Aurobindo is great and mighty and benevolent and compassionate. So we have to understand that wideness. But some people will try. Even recruit as many people into Sri Aurobindo movement. Then you lose the yoga. You turn it into a religion. But at the same time, there are different people who try to connect differently. It's perfectly fine. Somebody goes and does pranam. We don't say if you have not done pranam, you have done something bad and you should not be, doing this. Equally, Sri Aurobindo caution. If you say my guru, the only guru and the best guru, this is not something which goes with Sri Aurobindo's teachings or any of the Sanatana Dharma teachings. People have the right to follow their own natural law of being, Swadharma. And others have a right. So each one, yes, what you follow, you should be faithful to that. Otherwise, what's the point? So that's called fidelity to the path. And sectarianism comes in when you say all others, whatever they are following is not right and it should, they have no right to exist. That's the extreme step. So she says very clearly that the age of religion is over, which means there is a supramental action going on, and this kind of a religious exclusive belief will drop out in the advancing march of mankind. It's already happening, which we are talking about ex-Muslims and many other. There are lakhs, probably millions of them, by the way, which we don't get to know. So this is happening because this march is, and exclusivity is dropping off. Nobody minds whatever you follow. So Hindu Rashtra means that. Hindu Rashtra means Muslims can live anybody. I mean, it's basically Hinduism has allowed different things to prosper. And if you look back 400 years back, it was like that. But because falsehood rises to its full swing before its destruction. So you see a great hardening taking place last particularly 200, 300 years, and this hardening, especially 150 years, if you go back, it is the gift of the British. They hardened a Hindu-Muslim divide. How did they do it? What Asim Munir said the other day, the British has said about 120 years back. What did they do? They divided Bengal along communal lines. Why did they do it? They did it for the sake of power. So you divide. Then when you divide, you are weakened. And that is the time Sri Aurobindo came into the freedom struggle. And what did he say? That Hindu-Muslim both should connect to the motherland as mother. You may have a different religion. That's okay. But mother is the same. So he tried to give a solution by rousing the sense of the mother. And in army, there are a lot of people who follow that, who believe that. See, the one of the lady officer who was giving the briefing, Qureshi, no? And Sophia Qureshi, Colonel Sophia Qureshi. And her father had also fought the 71 war and before. So, yes, I agree that, you know, no, nothing wrong. She has her own private religion, fine. It doesn't matter. So Hinduism by its nature allows it. It's secular by its own. But the problem now is that if Hinduism doesn't assert itself, why the need to assert is required, there is a great risk and chance of a takeover of the Islam. And this, then you can forget about secularism, you can forget. This is the problem, which I keep telling to my secular friend, that problem is that we have suffered a lot and many countries have suffered. You may say, no, there are good Muslims, fine. What happened in Afghanistan? What happened in all the countries down, Europe? If you come this side, you read their story. In India, of course, finally a great battle took place and many people lost their lives, and eventually now you have whatever percentage of 20 and 80. But you can't deny that there is an ideology which is dangerous. The fangs are not broken. So it means that either the Muslims have to reinterpret the Quran and say, well, there was a movement like that. Somebody even went to Supreme Court that, well, these things of Quran are no more relevant. You should remove them. See how much ruckus and how much problem that man faced. So he has become a Hindu now. In UP, there was a man. He said, what's the point in trying to bring sense? So he became a Hindu. He got converted now. So you see, this is the danger. It's not about, they are not standing on an equal footing. In a Hindu Rashtra, everybody has their own say. But if you don't do that, if you keep it a secular Rashtra, there is a problem. By Hindu Rashtra, I don't mean declaring a Hindu Rashtra. Sri Aurobindo says the larger spirit of Hinduism. You don't have to declare it a Hindu Rashtra. But the danger of a secular Rashtra is that it may be taken over. There is a risk. You can't deny that risk by the hardcore fundamentalist version of Islam. Why? Because it has done in Bangladesh, it has done in Pakistan, it has done in Afghanistan. Hardly any Hindus are left, so one has to be very careful. This is the way logic, and that's why Hindus are speaking, not because they have any hatred or anything like that. There is a real risk, and that would mean clock going backward. How many years backward? Just imagine those regressive practices. What's happening even now in Pakistan, Bangladesh. So we have to not have hatred, but we have to act because of the forward march of mankind. The present day Islam, the political Islam, the organized Islam is very, very dangerous and a threat to the whole world, threat to India itself. So in whatever way one raises the voice is fine. I am not saying take a sword and say, Jinda nahi bachega. No, that's not what we are. And we should not do that kind of a stupid thing that they are doing. Then the other part is we should know how to communicate. I'll tell you, there are so many instances I know where this people don't know even basics about Sanatana Dharma. And that's why we had the series of talks. For example, they say, oh, in Islam there is one God. I said, but have you read the Advaita? Ekamevidityam. We do have the idea of one God, but this one God does not cancel all the other gods, which is something very beautiful. It is enriching. We have Ekam Evidityam, but we also say Ekam Sad Vipra Bahuda Vadanti. So they complement each other. So we do have this concept of one ultimate divine reality. So we are not just, we have to communicate that to the children, that we also believe in it. But at the same time, we believe that everything is God. Everything has to be taken. River is God. The mobile is also God. The river is God. The tree is God. The stone is God. So this is what we believe in. So we have to learn to communicate in the language that modern people understand. But if we say, no, yes, that is right. There is one God and there is only one way of life. Institutionalizing, that's the other part. Many people believe all the Hindu gurus should come together and speak in one voice. This is dangerous. Let each be free to speak whatever they want to speak. They have a freedom. This fundamental truth of Sanatana Dharma. The point is, because Sanatana Dharma is not centered around finishing Muslims or Christians, then we will do the same mistake which Pakistan did. So why did Pakistan lose sight? Pakistan made it an ideology to finish, to recapture Bharat. So their whole goal is, if you look at there, what is their, even in preamble it is there. So their whole goal is Ghazba-e Hind. We have to reconquer. So what has happened? They have become full of that hatred, vengeance, blinded. We don't want to make our goal is, no, okay, Muslim, be there where you are, fine, you follow your Allah, no problem, no issue. But don't try to impose this kind of a thing. So there has to be a strong leader who takes that kind of stand. Gurus coming together and saying everybody fight holy jihad is the same thing like Maulana's coming together. We should not do that. Because our goal is the divine and the manifestation of the divine. Problem of Islam is right now, I'm not saying 500 years back, it is coming in the way of this manifestation. That's why it has to be, one has to speak up. It has become a threat. Like communism, ideals are very good. If you look at it, all are equal and everybody. But if you look at the core and their actions, because communism ideology also does not tolerate anyone. The most intolerant people who speak about tolerance are the leftists. And see what Mao did. And that's why Sri Aurobindo said that communism is destined to break. And he went on to say, if communism ever re-establishes here in the world, it has to be on the basis of Vedanta. That you find in Auroville, in Ashram. We are more communist than the communists. People sit together. You may be a national awardee, a very big doctor or whatever politician. At the same time, you may be a most commoner person. We sit together and eat in the dining room. We don't do this, oh, you are a lesser mortal. Everybody gets, place to stay and the same facility in gym or anything. Everybody can go and use it equally. Nobody asks you your caste, creed, etc. That is important. Caste system as it is being practiced must break. This is being used as a fault line to divide. The truth of caste you cannot remove. That is about the stratification of mankind. Whether you like it or not, they will be seekers of knowledge and they will be respected. You don't have to say that seekers of knowledge should be respected. Knowledge is always respected. If you finish that, then you have no hope. So Brahmins were respected because they were custodians of knowledge and they had very high code of conduct. They were supposed to live in a very simple, modest way, moderate way, and they were not supposed to ask anything from anyone. So the state supported them and people respected them. But equally, we had Kshatriyas who were meant to fight the war. So somebody has had asked, ki, you know, people who are dying. I said, you tell a Kshatriya, Kshatriya who is a warrior, he will say, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? They seek a battle, and even here there would be some people who would love to go to the battle and fight even if they fall. Hena Sudhir? See? Correct? See? She knows. Sahi baat hai na? Even you would go. I would love to go. So this task was given to the Kshatriya. So Kshatriya's code was what should be his inner state and how he should fight the war. Leave them to fight the war. Don't try to teach him the lesson of peace. No, no, no. You see, they are across the border. He is also your brother. All that is fine. But that's how Shobindo writes in the Gita, Holiday of Fight, in Essays on the Gita. Then I'll read that very powerful tonic for the soul. Holiday of Fight. This is the key word. In Essays on the Gita. So, this we must remember. And all good Kshatriyas, they may be Muslims, but they understand this. They will fight for what is true and beautiful. No, Holiday of Fight has come. No, it has to come to that chapter. It has not come. It should be in the chapter on Kurukshetra. Maybe if you search Kurukshetra, then it will come. Or there may be 2-3. So in that, Shurvindu describes that what is the role. That's what Shri Krishna tells Kshatriya. Now Shri Krishna would not say the same thing to a, let's say, a Brahminical temperament. He would not tell Buddha that, no, you must govern the Sakya kingdom. To Buddha, he will say, go out and find the remedy for the world's suffering. To a Sri Ramakrishna, he will not say, perform your duties disinterestedly, get married, look after the children. He would say, no, arrive at the heights of, those realizations because you are meant to do that. So we must understand, India did not shun violence, it channelized violence, sublimated violence, and even changed it into a means for self-discovery and self-glorification. And it's from there that came the concept of the heaven of the warrior. Wo jo hoor wali baat hai. Ye distortion kahan se? In India also we have. We have this ki, there is a special place where the warring souls go and they take rest there, recuperate. Shobindu describes it in the Paradise of the Life Gods. Read it. So after the war, one goes there and there is a great, soothing streams, music, and he describes that there are beings who will come there and those energies will take away all your wounds and you feel so much elevated, you feel that bliss, all that he describes. And in typical Hindu thought, there is jo veer bhumi mein veer gati ko praapt hote hain, unke liye swar ke darwaje khul jate hain. So it's okay that maybe jihad meant that, I don't deny that. But you have to tell that, well, the Muslim community has to say this. If I say this, it doesn't make sense. And there it is not like blowing yourself up and killing some innocent. A warrior never fought with innocent people. Warrior fought with a warrior. There is some dignity of cause. If you fight with a warrior, challenge the army and fight. But what is this nonsense accosting? I mean, this is not even a cowardly act, something unspeakably low. So, now comes this. Have you come to the passage or just a chapter has been opened? There's a passage there. Last mein aata. Indian civilization. Okay. It's very powerful. So I want to read it because it's like a tonic for the soul. One of my most favorite. Yeah. Okay. Very powerful this is. See how Sri Krishna describes. First. Then there is one more. Well, where he speaks about the answer of a hero to a hero. Let's try this. These are lovely passages, just to read them. Arjun is the Kshatriya, the Rajasic man who governs his Rajasic action by a high Sattvic ideal. He advances to this gigantic struggle, to this Kurukshetra, with the full acceptance, the joy of battle, as to a holiday of fight, but with a proud confidence in the righteousness of his cause. He advances in his rapid chariot, tearing the hearts of his enemies with victorious clamor, his war conch. So this was regarded as a bhava of Kshatriya. And when a Kshatriya went into that mode, the doors of heaven swung open, the gods respected that here is Kshatriya has to defend righteousness, he has to defend truth. There have to be people who defend the throne of truth. That's why you see that when Vasishtha Vishwamitra, Vishwamitraji, he is praying. So, yeah, it's a different passage anyways. We'll get it if we have meant to read it. But answer of a hero to a hero, either in Kurukshetra or man and the, or in the battle of life. So, that's why we see that, you know, when Vishwamitra is doing yajna, so he calls Rama and Lakshman to guard his yajna. So there have to be people who guard the throne of truth, and when truth is being manifested, there will be 1,000 enemies. So the Kshatriya type is meant to engage in this action. If you teach a Kshatriya the you should be very kind and loving, yes, he will not kill brutally. And I must tell you, this is the difference between Indian army and the Pakistani army. And real life incidents, I'll tell you. One of my friend who was a commando, he's still there in services. So he was posted in Jammu Kashmir. So he was telling that once, and this used to be a common incident, terrorist, when they captured one of the army person, they chopped his different parts and put the body in a bag and they put it to the other side. So the first impulse of these Indian army people was, we are going to teach them a lesson. Indian army is very professional. And then their commandant said, no, we are not like them. We have to teach them a lesson. But we are not supposed to do this. And you'll see this. What happened when somebody was captured and, you know, what was that flight lieutenant, and they took out the eyes and all this. Yeah, Kalia, Saurabh Kalia. This is how the difference is. There is a code of conduct in the Kshatriya. When you die on the battlefield, your thing ceases. You don't dismantle the body. You don't mangle with the dead body. And there is another ideal where you not only dismantle and maltreat the body. I don't want to say unspeakable things, including having physical relation if you have killed a woman. This is the extent to which an ideology goes. How can one justify it? That means one doesn't know. So even in ancient Greece, this was a culture where the whole war, where Achilles jumps into the fray, is when his nephew dies. And there is a fight, a whole canto is devoted to a fight over the body of Patroclus. Who is going to, because both want, this was important to respect the body. And that's where Dilip Kumar, Hector, when he dies. So that was Dilip Kumar Roy. And Achilles did something which he shouldn't have done, taking the body all around. Because this would create panic that, oh my God, the dead will be treated like this. So anyway, so we have the code of the Kshatriya since we got it. Yeah. No, holiday of a fight we have read. We have to read what Shri Krishna does. The answer of a hero to a hero. This you showed me, so I have already read it. So here it's like, answer of a hero to a hero. This is what I remember. This I have already done. Yeah. Yes. Whence has come to thee this dejection, this stain and darkness of the soul in the hour of difficulty and peril? Asks Krishna of Arjuna. The question points to the real nature of Arjuna's deviation from his heroic qualities. See, there is a heroism. Shri Aurobindo says that There are three stages of evolution. One is the camel man. So camel man is, you know, who bears the burden of life. You'll see in Triple Soul Forces, we'll read this today in the evening. So camel man bears the burden of life. He has no choice. Then there is the heroic man, the leonine man. He takes the challenge and the danger and fights it. He does not shrink from that battle which is thrust upon him. And then there is the child man who becomes like a child. So he says you cannot advance from the camel man to the child soul. You have to go through the heroic stage. It's a process of evolution. So he says, there is a divine compassion which descends to us from on high. And for the man whose nature does not possess it, is not cast in its mold, to pretend to be the superior man, the master man, or the superman is a folly and an insolence. For he alone is the superman who most manifests the highest nature of the Godhead in humanity. If your highest nature is to be the warrior, manifest that warrior soul in all his fullness. This compassion observes with an eye of love and wisdom and calm strength the battle and the struggle. The strength and weaknesses of man, his virtues and sins, his joy and suffering, his knowledge and his ignorance, his wisdom and his folly, his aspiration and his failure, and it enters into it all to help and to heal. In the saint and philanthropist, it may cast itself into the mold of a plenitude of love or charity. In the thinker and hero, it assumes the largeness and the force of a helpful wisdom and strength. It is this compassion in the Aryan fighter, the soul of his chivalry, which will not break the bruised reed, but helps and protects the weak and the oppressed and the wounded and the fallen. So this is the whole, you know, approach that one must take. Now, people speak about death. There is fear of death. Log mar rahe hain, mar rahe hain, mar rahe hain. Haan, mar rahe hain. Death is a fact. Par theek se to maro. Dar dar ke hospital mein wo ICU ke bed par marna hai. Sounds very this thing, no? Bhav hai wo. मर रहे हैं, एक दिन मरना है. मर मर के मरना है, डर डर के मरना है. नाउ यू सी व्हाट ही सेज, व्हाट डज द सनातन धर्म टीच अस. देयर इज नो सच थिंग एज डेथ, फॉर इट इज द बॉडी दैट डाइज एंड द बॉडी इज नॉट द मैन. दैट विच रियली इज कैनॉट गो आउट ऑफ एग्जिस्टेंस, दो इट मे चेंज द फॉर्म्स थ्रू विच इट अपियर्स. Just as that which is non-existence cannot come into being, the soul is and cannot cease to be. This opposition of is and is not, this balance of being and becoming, which is the mind's view of existence, finds its end in the realization of the soul as the one imperishable self by whom all this universe has been extended. So this is how he prepares Arjun for the great battle. And it's true of all of us. Here comes that passage. Therefore, there is no greater good for the Kshatriya than righteous battle. And when such a battle comes to them of itself, like the open gates of heaven, happy are the Kshatriyas then. If thou dost not fight this battle for the right, then hast thou abandoned thy duty and virtue and the glory, and sin shall be your portion. So these are the ideals of the Kshatriya warrior. And this is something which we have lost, because this Gandhiji taught all this non-violence stuff. And you know, we have somehow, now comes the last part, okay? The one which I wanted to read, my super tonic. Okay, there was a time when I had taken it out and stuck it into my room to read it again and again till its force seeps into the very bones. So I'll read my favorite passage. Sorry, main apne dhun mein abhi ja raha hoon. Okay. It is the creed of the Aryan fighter. No God. No, K-N-O-W. No God. It says, know thyself. Help man. Protect the right. Do without fear or weakness or faltering thy work of battle in the world. Thou art the eternal and imperishable spirit. Thy soul is here on its upward path to immortality. Life and death are nothing. Sorrow and wounds and suffering are nothing, for these things have to be conquered and overcome. Hai na? Kya baat hai? Look not at thy own pleasure and gain and profit, but above and around, above at the shining summits to which thou climbest, around at this world of battle and trial, in which good and evil, progress and retrogression are locked in stern conflict. This is what we are speaking about. It's not just about good and evil, progress and retrogression. Men call to thee, their strong man, their hero for help. Help then, fight, destroy, when by destruction the world must advance. What powerful words these are. But hate not that which thou destroyest. This is the important part. Neither grieve for all those who perish. Know everywhere the one self. Know all to be immortal souls and the body to be but dust. Do thy work with a calm, strong and equal spirit. Now comes what a line. Fight and fall nobly or conquer mightily. Ye hai Sanatan Dharma. Ye kya bachcho jaisa, are mar jayenge, ye log border pe mar rahe hain yaar. Matlab, literally sharam karo. This is not Hindu, this is not Sanatan Dharma. Look what he says. Fight and fall nobly. There is a great dignity in standing up for a cause, and if you fall and even fail, at least you stood up. Or conquer mightily, ye nahi ki hum jeetna nahi hai. Or conquer mightily. Do thy work with a calm, strong and equal spirit. Fight and fall nobly or conquer mightily. For this is the work that God and thy nature have given to thee to accomplish. You see, this is the tonic, the creed of the Aryan fighter. So please read as is on the Gita. And there are so many pearls there. One is enough to liberate us. Svalpamasya dharmasya. This passage can liberate us from all fear of death. So, okay. Thank you, finally. So I was just waiting for this passage. Hota hai na, dekho. Kabhi aapne kuch bada sundar, koi badi achi drink li hai. To, wo wine ko peene ka maja group mein jyada aata hai. खूब जमेगी जब मिल बैठेंगे दीवाने दो. तो पर्पस यही था कि दीवाने मिलके पिए. सो बिकॉज इज समथिंग वेरी पावरफुल. आई एम श्योर सम ऑफ अस मस्ट हैव रेड दिस पैसेज. एनीवन हैज रेड दिस पैसेज. सो देयर इज अ जॉय ऑफ शेयरिंग समथिंग विच इज सो ब्यूटिफुल. ओके नाउ विल कम बैक 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 बैक. क्वेश्चन नंबर भूल गया. फर्स्ट ए और बी हो गया आई थिंक सो. ओके वील कम टू सी हाउ टू डिस्कवर व्हाट द इंस्ट्रूमेंट्स रोल इज इन दिस लाइफ टाइम. आई हैव ऑलवेज फेल्ट एन अर्ज टू वर्क टुवर्ड्स यूनिटी बट हैव नो आइडिया हाउ टू और व्हाट टू डू. सो दैट्स वेरी गुड. दैट्स योर अर्ज. फॉलो दैट अर्ज एंड इफ यू गो यू विल डिस्कवर समथिंग वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग. That the basis of unity is only one, the divine self in all beings. All other forms of unity finish diversity. Everybody should speak the same language, everybody should dress alike, think alike. Unity in diversity is the secret. Only if we discover the divine self, we can have unity. So if you have the urge, go on the discovery of the divine self. Work in that way towards humanity and grow, one will discover many things. So, yes, if that is the urge, yes, calling, one should work in that calling. In whatever way, doesn't matter. That urge will guide us. If you have the urge, it itself has the power, it is the Agni. That's why in the entire Vedas you have so many mantras to Agni. So, what is the role of Agni? You see, even mashal leke chalna na, agni. So agni is the divinity within the heart. And if agni inspires you towards, let's say, unity, then agni will also guide you to the right path, to the true path. But keep this aspiration. Don't be afraid. There would be errors, blunders, seemingly, apparently, on the beginning. There is never a right or wrong. There is a movement from through shades of gray, through relative right, through relative wrong, through approximations, one day hits the target. So be not afraid of error. If you are afraid of error, you will deny the possibility of truth. And the mind cannot tell us. Keep this aspiration and work. You may discover at the end, oh, it was all wrong. Doesn't matter. That's a learning. Wake up. Move further. Don't give up. The calling is too sacred and special to be given up. Okay. Then there is second question. First one was A, B, C. How to discover my true self, my true calling? Why things are never clear to my mind about what to do truly in life to make my life aligned with my true self? In most people's life, it is like that. What a grace. Devta prasann hue. No, we can leave it. We can take the question later. पर यहां तो लोग नहीं सुन पाए. विल टेक इट अप लेटर. हाँ नहीं, वी कैन टेक इट अप लेटर. सो द रेन हैज आंसर्ड, ग्रेस हैज आंसर्ड आवर पावरफुल इन्वोकेशन ऑफ बीइंग द हीरो वॉरियर. मे वी ऑल बिकम ट्रू हीरो वॉरियर्स. वी कैन क्लोज विद दिस प्रेयर ऑफ द मदर. मेक ऑफ अस. Whether it's recorded or not, it's not important. So there is a prayer of the mother. Make of us the hero warriors. With that prayer we can stop. It's beautiful and powerful prayer. After that we'll see how many will walk into the rain to enjoy it. Okay, we'll stop with this prayer. Make of us the hero warriors we aspire to become. May we fight successfully the great battle of the future, that is to be born against the past that seeks to endure, so that the new things may manifest and we may be ready to receive them. In this yoga, it's very important to have that heroic aspect. Especially because this yoga is not about escape from life. It is to take on the challenge of life and taking the bull by the horns and coming to grips with it. Okay. Jai Ma.